back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got my bow tie on. We are here in Los Angeles at Radio Row. You know, I didn't know that I'd see this guy. I told my wife when I left, I said, you know what? I'm going to see people I like. We might be wearing masks. Some of us might not be wearing masks, but I'm going to see people I like, and I'm going to have some radio, and I don't know if it's going to be the best radio of my career, but either way, I figured there'd be some actors, and you're now wearing the same headset that Joe Mantegna was wearing moments ago. You're almost in The Godfather 3. You're almost in The Three Amigos. You're almost The Fourth Amigo. Howard Balzer joins us here. You know, I would say Sports Exchange or Sporting News when I was a kid, or Sporting News Radio. At one point, my colleague, what are you doing, man? You're out in the desert. You drove over here from Arizona.
Yeah, I did. I drove from Arizona. It was not a bad 5.5 hour drive, although 4 hours of it is all through desert. But yeah, it was a nice drive.
Does your skin dry out like a lizard? My skin's like drying.
It dries a little.
I'm bloody. My knuckles are bloody. I got hotel skin therapy going on out here, you know?
I think my skin's been pretty much impervious.
Super Bowl in Las Vegas. I'm going to get a skincare sponsored. Somebody get somebody down at the Inner Harbor.
There we
go.
I'm
going to bring out lotion for everybody.
Definitely.
Because you're going to need it. There's no doubt about that. So you're in Phoenix these days, and, you know, my heart for you. As the longtime St. Louis person, I know I had you on the show about 2 months ago, and I told you I flew into St. Louis to see the Stones, first night of the tour. Screwed my back up on that trip. It was a mess. And I had no idea that the Cronkies were... I knew they would be making money, and they'd be playing this game in their stadium and all that. I got to get some emotion from you, dude, because, like... I lost my football team when I was 15. You're intimately familiar with that.
Yes.
You were around when all that happened. You were at the first drawing of the Indianapolis Colts and all the Jeff Georges and Steve Entmans, and Baldinger tells me those stories, and so does Rick Venturi. But this has got to be difficult for you, right? This changed your life. It changed a lot of people's lives.
It changed a lot of people's lives, no doubt about it. And
I saw Sam Farmer too, and I reminded him that it changed his life. So I remember he was the desperate old guy looking for the football team, and now look at it, right? So
and it's funny too, because it kind of gets rubbed in a little bit, Ness, when not so much that the Rams are winning, but the way they're winning, because you hear him say, "Well, you know, we're all in." Well. Shouldn't all teams be all in? And I'm not saying that all teams should be trading all their number one picks for different players and all that, but all teams should be all in as much as possible.
Well, this might be different 2 years from. They might be 5-12 too.
Well, you never know. You never know. But the point is, they certainly understand Kroenke's ownership in St. Louis were never even close to all in. And in fact, when they hired Jeff Fisher as the head coach in 2012, it was with the express intent of getting a coach who had navigated a move of a team from one city to another. Because Fisher, of course, had been with the Houston Oilers when they moved to Tennessee.
Well, he coached them in the Sugar Shack down there in Memphis.
Yeah.
They would fly
change
their clothes in the balcony or
right.
the bowels of Liberty Bowl. I was at one of those games.
Part of the interview of Jeff Fisher was asking him and talking about what is involved with making a move and all that. So that was done with that intent. And so they weren't trying to win. And Kevin Demoff had a famous quote, the club president or whatever his title is now, he had a famous quote that actually their last year in St. Louis, they won a few games at one point, and they weren't a real good team, but they weren't horrible during Fisher's years, but they were mediocre, and they won a few games, and it looked like, hey, they might compete for a playoff spot. And then they lost like 3 or 4 in a row. And Demoff actually said at one point that, it was good that we lost, because then we could concentrate on the other things that we were working on. I mean, how do you come out and say stuff like that? And then the funny part that really rubs it in is the all-in stuff, which, Les Snead, look at all the moves he made. Well, does it really take a genius general manager to trade all your draft picks for Jalen, when a guy's available, for Jalen Ramsey or for Matthew Stafford? Or to Von Miller, or to sign Odell Beckham Jr. That doesn't take a lot of genius to bring those guys to your football team.
Well, especially when you're in LA and you're trying to sell this.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's been there, and that's why they had to go all in, because they knew what a tough market it was. But they didn't call it that when they were making the move. Let's remember, when they were trying to get the league to approve it, they were saying, hey, we're going back to L.A. It's a legacy franchise. The fan base is there. They said that.
Right.
Well, what did Demoff say last week after half the stadium at least was 49ers fans? It said, it showed us how much work we have to do even after 6 years of being here to develop a fan base. So they admitted that they don't have the fan base. I mean, it's they have some fans. Don't get me wrong.
Dude, Chargers play here. There are no Chargers fans here.
Right.
And there's barely Rams fans.
But exactly.
Howard Balzer is here.
Anyway.
He now lives in Phoenix. And I want to give your whole story because, like, if people are new to the show or just tuning in and don't know who you are, I was reading you when I was a boy. But more than that, you're a Philadelphia guy who wound up in St. Louis at Sporting News and then lost a team, attracted a team. The thing climbed the mountain. Kurt Warner's sitting over here right now. I saw Torrey Holt over here, right? And then washed it off. I mean, you've lived five lifetimes in this Jim Hart, Cardinals, you know, Jim Hannifin, you know, all of that for St. Louis. And you swore to me 5 years ago, you're like, they broke the law, they're going to get sued, they're going to... And then you have a couple of handful of lawyers in St. Louis basically sell the city down the river.
Well, I don't think it was, the more I've thought about it and talked to people, I don't think it was the attorneys that did. I think it was the because the attorneys worked for the city. Or when you say the city, the attorneys worked for the entities in St. Louis, whether it's the mayor, the county executive, and those people. They were working for them. They were the ones that wanted this thing settled, and they were the ones that figured, hey, let's take the money and run, and don't take a chance.
Everybody's trying to get the NFL to discovery, right? Including Congress
point. And they were in discovery, and that's why the NFL desperately wanted this thing to go away, because they knew that the discovery was going to come out in open court. And what was discovered in discovery were a lot of the things that I knew that had happened, that I had told people in the media about, but no one touched it. No one would even cover it. But you know, that's the way of the world. But it's, you know, it was just the way it is. But like you said, it changed a lot of people's lives, and that was the thing that made people bitter, is that they had to trash the city to make the move happen, and that St. Louis was collateral damage. And you know, one thing you didn't mention, you know, lost a team, gained a team. You know what? We were right there with you guys in Baltimore during the expansion process, thinking we were going to get a team, and that one didn't happen.
A big booster to my career,
by the way, Kroenke was behind losing the expansion team. And that's another story.
Little known fact, Stan the Fan was on the radio then, and he was the biggest star in sports radio in 1992, 93, 94. He was convinced that Anheuser-Busch, he was also Coors Light sponsored, he was convinced that Anheuser-Busch was at the heart of the St. Louis thing, right? So remember, Charlotte got the first team, and then we groveled. You, Memphis, Jacksonville, everybody's groveling, right? But the word was that there was a one-team release because the league was being held up by Anheuser-Busch to some degree, who was a huge sponsor at that time, that Anheuser-Busch wanted a team back in St. Louis, and they were giving St. Louis. You had ownership issues there, right?
I mean, Clayton,
was that the name? What was the name of the people that...
Jerry Clinton.
Clinton.
And he was never going to be the main owner because he didn't have the money, and he needed partners to pull it off. And they had James Busch Orthwine, who had been part of the Bush family and Anheuser-Busch and all that. He was going to be the owner, and then
I wound up with a 15-year Budweiser sponsorship because of that. So I just want to let you know.
Okay, well.
My career.
He backed out of it, of being the owner.
And Jacksonville gets the team. We both wound up holding the bag.
But here's the crazy part of the story, is that they gave St. Louis another month after Charlotte was picked to get their ownership act together, and that's when Kroenke came riding in on what everyone thought was going to be the white horse and save it and be the owner, and he was going to be. And when they went to Chicago for the league meeting, here's the kind of untold part of the story, is that Jerry Clinton, who was a local beer distributor, when they got the stadium built, which was an extension of the convention center, he had a 2-year personal, he controlled the lease in the stadium for a football team for 2 years.
The TWA dome.
The TWA dome, right. He controlled the lease. And so when Kroenke came in, he didn't want to deal with Jerry Clinton. He was trying to push Clinton out. All he had to do was have Clinton involved in some way, and that's all Jerry wanted. But he didn't, I'm Stan Kroenke, I'm a billionaire, I don't need some guy who came up from the bad side of town and is now a beer distributor. I don't need him. So they went to the league meeting in Chicago in November of that year, and you know what their proposal was to have the team? Their proposal was to play in Busch Stadium for 2 years. 2 years. Two full seasons until Clinton's
lease
was up, and then they would move into the dome. Well, the real irony in all this was Eric Grubman was a guy in the league office who was the liaison with all the cities.
He lived in Baltimore, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay. He was the liaison with L.A., with the Chargers, with the Raiders, with the Rams, with the cities and all. He was the liaison, right? Well, a guy in that same role back in the 95 expansion, which was going on in the fall of 93, there was a guy in the league office who was filling Eric Grubman's role then, right? And this guy had gotten to know Jerry Clinton and gotten to know the people in St. Louis. And he was very instrumental when they came up to the vote. He says, no, we can't just kowtow to these guys. These owners of Stan Kroenke and these guys, they didn't even hardly know Kroenke at the time. We can't kowtow to these guys. They're trying to push Jerry Clinton out. And he was the guy that essentially helped get that stadium built. So no, we can't do that.
Even though he doesn't have the money.
Right. And Kroenke did. But we can't kowtow. And that's why they picked Jacksonville, because That was just a situation. Well, you know who that guy in the NFL league office was that I've just been referring to, a guy?
Roger Goodell.
Yes. Yes. So Goodell knew then what kind of guy Kroenke was. Well, of course, 25 years later or whatever it was, he didn't care.
He was the kind of guy that would pay Roger Goodell $44 million a year in annual salary.
Well,
right?
And they wanted his money in L.A. And so what they should have done, and I've said this all along, is they should have just, okay, we want your money in L.A. St. Louis shouldn't be collateral damage. Within 2 years or whatever, we'll come up with a plan to replace the team in St. Louis. But they weren't going to do that. They didn't do that. And now it's, you know, everyone's saying, well, you should be happy that St. Louis got $790 million. Well, a lot of it's going to the attorneys. But there's also a lot of people saying, well, we don't trust the city and the county to spend it right. Right, and so the bottom line to it is all is it lost a football team, and who knows now if they'll ever get one again.
Howard Balzer is here. You can find him out in the desert in Phoenix. Tell me what you're doing. I mean, you do serious ones. Are you doing all sorts?
Yeah, I do some serious. I do work on Sports Map Radio, which used to be back in the day, which used to be one-on-one radio and Sporting News Radio and Yahoo Radio and SB Nation, and now it's Sports Map Radio. I do some shows with them. Doing some shows this week. I do two weekend shows. You mentioned serious. I do a website for the Cardinals, publisher of allcardinals.com, which is through Sports Illustrated. So I managed to keep myself busy.
And you drive your way over here to L.A. For you with this, this is all Goodell and Kroenke's wet dream. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Like this.
Oh,
and
totally.
And Jerry Jones. And
oh,
Jerry
totally.
Jones.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that this game is happening, the fact that the Rams are involved, the fact that the cities. That maybe 20 years from now, the Rams will be where the Dodgers and the Lakers sort of...
Good luck with that.
Well, but you know, I think that the league was always popular here, right? I mean, people watch the game here. They all had different teams.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of NFL fans, but it's also, as we know, a front-running town.
Well, we thought it was a Raiders town.
And, right? Yeah, well, it totally is. But they also wanted, let's remember, NFL honors on Thursday night is at the YouTube Theater, which is on the land around SoFi Stadium.
Right.
And the press conferences afterwards are in the NFL Media Building, which is NFL Network, which is on Kroenke's land. So this was, yeah, I mean, and then they're pushing to try to get the combine there. And which would be, to me, just insane to have the combine in L.A., just how spread out it is and all those things. But who knows if that'll happen at some point. So, yeah, that is their wet dream, is a good way of putting it.
All right. So get a little Ravens for me here. We had a change in president. You mentioned ownership. I tried to stress to our audience this week, and people were like, you're stirring it up. Well, Bisciotti's owned the team for 2 decades. The secession plan is for him to sell the team. There's an exit. You know, he's going to sell it to someone at some point. He's not going to die with it, not going to give it to his kids.
Well, but he's not an old guy.
I find him to be less active in all of this.
Okay.
He issued a press release on Monday morning, which tells you all you need to know. He's issuing press releases now. He's not taking questions, not being front-facing. The league's not very front-facing anymore.
No, that's very true.
I think that comes from up top. If I speak, you have to speak. If you speak, I have to speak. None of us speak. None of us do anything. We speak through our lawyers, right? I mean,
right. That, and statements.
And even when you have a 19-year tenured general manager who is beloved by him, the players, everybody, you issue one paragraph about Dick Cash, you hire an African-American team president, you do it at 6 o'clock on a Friday night, the week before Super Bowl week. I see things changing in the league, the way the media is, certainly the gambling. I mean, you're in this room right now. Everything in this room is gambling. If you or I would have ever been involved in gambling in any way or in that heavy a way, we would have been thrown out. And now they have $1 million sets in here with FanDuel. And like all. It's an amazing transformation for the league in ideology, but also in not hiring black coaches, in blackballing Colin Kaepernick in plain sight, in Dan Snyder having these emails, and John Gruden, and the infighting, and just the fact that this thing is here and what happened to your town involved in it. There's just a lot of dirty poker and being involved in all this money being made. It really is.
You're 100%.
It's awful. As a Baltimore person.
But you know what? To them, it doesn't matter. Is it dirty money? They don't care. It's money. And it's all about the revenue. And that's not to say that you shouldn't be in business, obviously, to make as much money as you can. But there also should be a certain amount of accountability for it. And to get on this high horse all the time about, oh, well, we're concerned with punts and kickoffs because of player safety, but let's play a 17th game.
Right.
And let's have everybody playing on, you know, every team at some point playing on Thursday night. And let's do this and let's do that. I mean, it's just crazy.
The Pro Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
The Pro Bowl.
That's an affront to football.
It's not football.
It's not. Exactly. Exactly. And so it's just a weird, weird dynamic.
This is a dangerous thing, this Flores thing, because you mentioned Demoff and all Wes Snead and all these names I haven't thought about in a while. And you're like, well, they weren't trying to win. Well, we got a problem like that with baseball in Baltimore. Well, we got a problem in sports with that, right?
Yes.
We have a problem throughout sports with this draft system where you are incented to lose. Incented so much that an owner might go to a coach and say,
yeah,
between you and me, I'll send you and your wife on a really nice vacation.
And
if you don't beat the Bengals this week.
And,
you know?
And now, let's piggyback with the gambling. How do you get in bed with the gambling industry? Well, get in bed with the gambling industry and know that you're going to have sports books inside stadiums and asking people to bet on the games.
And then John Harbaugh is going to get in front of us and have to answer questions about Lamar Jackson's injury status.
Right, and they won't even give.
And we're expecting him to be honest.
Right, that's right, and they won't even give information on that. Hey, with the Rams, with Kyler Murray, he suffered an ankle injury in that Thursday night game against Green Bay, and they played games with the first couple of weeks whether he's going to be able to play or not. Well, game day decision, blah, blah, blah. And they never said it was a high ankle sprain. They just said we just knew it was an ankle injury. Well, if anyone knew it was a high ankle sprain, there wouldn't have even been a debate about playing in one of those, especially the first couple of weeks after he got hurt. There wouldn't have been, everyone would have known he's not playing, but they couldn't put that out there. And yet they want people to bet on these games and have the games have some integrity. I mean, it's just
it's sticky. It's really
it
sticky.
It definitely is.
Unintended consequences for all of this, right? I mean, for you and I going back 30 years, we're really getting geezy here now, but you and I going back 30 years, that if St. Louis would have had its ish together to begin with, then Jacksonville wouldn't have happened, right? Or like, you know, things, Georgia Frontieri would have been stuck in Anaheim for a while, right?
Although I think that next on the list at that point was Baltimore, yeah.
Sure, because we had the most money on the table. John Moog would tell you that. So, you know, the course of the history of all of this, but also the Davis family being over in the desert in Vegas and making all the money over there. And, you know, this stadium game where the West Coast was never going to put stadiums up. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
California, all of that, right?
Yeah,
Arizona took forever. It took them a generation.
They voted for. So here's St. Louis that lost one team Partially, yes, in fact, because St. Louis couldn't come up with a stadium deal, but they moved somewhere without a stadium deal and didn't get a stadium for 20 years.
Temperature, game time, 109
right.
degrees.
Yeah. And then, so that's team one that's
Welcome
lost.
Welcome to your metal bench.
And then team two is lost when there is a stadium plan, which they end up moving anyway because they want his money in L.A. So what does that say about the way things are? And then they play games with, oh, well, the relocation rules aren't really rules. Oh, come on, give me a break. So, yeah, it's they just do what they want to do, and they feel they can get away with it. And they'll always deny, just like with the Brian Flores charges. Well, there's no merit to it, but then they claim they're going to investigate. Well, which is it? You know, which is it? And, that's a thing, too, with the gambling. I mean, it's just a mess. It's a circular mess but they know it doesn't matter.
The product's good.
Yeah, well,
the product's good.
You're right. I had someone
it's
say to me the other
game, by the way.
Someone wrote a column today I was reading that said, well, maybe the NFL will now eliminate the extra week between the conference championship and the Super Bowl because of all the bad stories last week. And that gives more time for negative stories to come out. Well, okay, they don't want negative stories, whether it's Flores, whether it's the Washington deal. They don't want those.
But they're not going to rush a Super Bowl.
But
they
doesn't.
They did that once. It wasn't any good.
It doesn't affect the game. Did all that stuff that happened last week affect the viewership of the games? No. The viewership was through the roof. And the reason it was through the roof was because the games were great. And they were close. So all that stuff doesn't matter. And in some perverted way, it does keep eyeballs on the sport talking about it, even when it's a negative story.
Howard Balzer's here. He's been covering the National Football League longer, better than just about anybody. He's out in the desert. You can find him. H. Balzer. Is it 721?
721.
There you go. See, I know it off the top of my head. That's pretty good. I don't even need the internet for that. Always good to see you. Elbows up, man. I was thinking about you when these criminals got into the game here, but the weather is better here than it was in St. Louis. I checked that out.
Well, no question about that.
But by the way, I want to thank you publicly for the first time, because my wife knows I have a problem with Ted Drew's frozen custard. And this is true. I booked my flight Sunday on the way out here, and I could have flown through Phoenix, Vegas, Chicago. I always fly through St. Louis.
So you can go in the airport vending machine.
So I can go to the little yellow machine, find a spoon, swipe my $6. I was eating this Heath bar on the plane somewhere over Nebraska. Oh, my God, it was delicious. So thank you for that.
Nothing like Ted Drew.
You gave me a gift.
No doubt
really
about it.
You gave me a gift, man.
No doubt about it. There's a lot of pretenders out there and a lot of imitators. Some good concretes in different cities. But, yeah, Ted Drew's is one and
just trust me on this. Yeah. When you go to St. Louis, go to Ted Drew's, get some frozen custard. Do you go back?
I haven't been yet since I moved 17 months ago, I think. It was in September, so October, November, December, January. Yeah, 17 months. Haven't been back yet. I will be at some point.
I flew in. I'm looking at the arch, and I'm like, the old mighty miss. By the way, it's snow on the ground from, like, Western Maryland to, like, Nevada. Like, the entire country was white underneath, and flying over snowfields. We are in Los Angeles. It's 82 and sunny outside, and it's,
It's chilly in here.
Yeah, it's freezing
They've really got the air code ramped up.
Yes, so I got three sweatshirts on. I'm wearing the old school. I'm going WNST, old school. We never stop talking Baltimore sports. We're here in Radio Row. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Wise Conversations, our friends that bring us out here. And a game day on Sunday with Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford. Back for more from L.A. and Super Bowl and Radio Row right after this on WNST and BaltimorePositive.com.